Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We return today to that interesting text in Galatians 3:13, which says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now the first part of the verse is not quite so mysterious, but this quotation on the last part of the verse is really rather intriguing. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What's that all about? Well, as we'll see in a moment, this explains why Christ had to die on a cross, rather than dying in some other way. Now, before we get back into that, let me pause long enough to mention this book by Tom Wells, God is King, an excellent book of 128 pages, published by Evangelical Press. It'll be a blessing to your soul, and we will be delighted to send one to every radio listener who sends us a contribution of any amount to help us maintain this broadcast on the air. Just mention that you'd like to receive this book, God is King, by Tom Wells. Well, this is telling us how Christ saves sinners. It tells us another aspect of Christ's salvation, one of the aspects that perhaps we don't consider quite as often. But it is certainly telling us that salvation was not free to God. It was very costly to God. Christ has redeemed us. That, of course, talks about a price. Redemption speaks of purchase. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has bought us out of a very precarious situation. We were under the curse of the law. What does that mean? We were under condemnation because the law says that anyone who does not keep the law must die. And that death is not only physical, but it is spiritual and eternal. It is ultimately separation from God, eternal condemnation. And that's the curse that every son and daughter of Adam is under until we are rescued by the grace of God through the crosswork of Jesus Christ. We are already condemned. It is not that someday we will stand before God and will be condemned. If we do not embrace Christ, we will stand before God someday and hear the pronouncement of our condemnation. But we are already under condemnation. We exist under condemnation. We live under the sentence of condemnation. And if we die without a remedy, then there is no possibility of anything but eternal condemnation. That's why we read in John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Is condemned already. It's not that we're waiting to be condemned. We are already condemned. And that's the idea here in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. The substitutionary atonement. Christ took our place. He became a curse for us. That is, he took that condemnation, that holy wrath of God against sin and against sinners who are guilty of sin. He took that upon himself. He became a curse for us. But this interesting part, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. That comes from Deuteronomy 23. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And God, in Deuteronomy, tells the children of Israel that they are to hang some some offenders on a tree, though they are not to leave their bodies on the tree overnight. But this is a particularly shameful manner of execution, and this public display of the offender by hanging him makes his execution all the more shameful and all the more public. We read in verse 22 of Deuteronomy 21, "If a man has committed the sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God." There is a special curse attached to those who are hanged. This shameful public display of their execution, which is, in fact, a shameful public display of their guilt. They are guilty of a crime that is deserving of death. They are executed, and sometimes after they are killed, they are hanged on a tree. In some cases, they are executed by hanging. But in either way, the idea of hanging them on a tree is to put them up to full public display and let everybody know what a terrible criminal they were. That's why Christ had to die on the cross. Why? Because he had to be hanged in public view in the shameful way. Why? Because he was bearing our sins. And it was a demonstration that our sins are heinous. They are shameful. They are scandalous. They deserve the most public approbation. And Christ took that upon himself. Excuse me. Everything about Christ's death was a shameful, humiliating death. But he was dying that way because everything about our sins and our deserved condemnation is a shameful, humiliating situation. And so we have this purposeful, shameful, public execution of Jesus Christ by hanging him on a cross. Why? Because he was a notorious sinner who deserved to die in such a fashion? No. Though the religious Jews and others in his day wanted to believe this. Saul of Tarsus formerly believed this, against all evidence to the contrary. But it was because he was a substitute. His shame was our shame. A penal, substitutionary atonement. You say, that's a big phrase. What does that mean? Well, penal has the idea that this is a legal matter. It is a court-ordered execution. So it is a penal, substitutionary atonement. He is dying for sins, but not for his own. It is for the sins of others. He is substituting for others. And in doing so, he is taking the punishment that is due unto them, the penalty that the law required of others. He is a vicarious substitute. He took our curse. He took our place. And so the dilemma raised by Paul in Galatians 3:10 is remedied in verse 13. Verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That reminder, and that, by the way, was a quotation from Leviticus, but that reminder that if you're going to be saved by law-keeping, by works, in other words, you have to have a perfect record, because everyone who fails to keep the law of God perfectly falls under God's curse. Then we read in verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." This public execution. And so what we have is the curse of Deuteronomy 27:26, that's the text that says that if you don't keep the whole law, you are cursed. The curse of Deuteronomy 27:26 is canceled by the counter curse of Deuteronomy 21:23. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The person who hangs on the tree is dying as a penalty for heinous sins, a heinous crime. And Christ did that. He died hanging on the cross as a penalty bearer for the sinners who trust in him, who are all cursed by failing to keep the law perfectly. And so the result of all of this is Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what is the result? Well, Gentiles receive the blessing of Abraham, which is justification by faith. Back to verse 6 of chapter 3, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, quoting from the book of Genesis. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Verse 14, that the blessing, Christ died on a cross and became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All believers receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. How? By faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promise of God. Faith in the cross work of Jesus Christ. The promise that was made to Abraham was fulfilled in the bestowment of the Spirit. You say, well, how can you tell if the Spirit has been bestowed? If you repent of your sins and believe the gospel, then the Spirit has been bestowed. That doesn't come naturally. That comes by the regenerating work of God's Holy Spirit in your heart. And that's the evidence. That's the evidence of the Spirit. People today are looking for the evidence of the Spirit and speaking of tongues. It's interesting, Paul is talking here about the reception of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and tongues is mentioned nowhere in the entire epistle to the Galatians. Not one time. What is the evidence of the Spirit, of His presence, of His power? It is when people repent of their sins and believe the gospel. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence that a work of the Holy Spirit has transpired. And so, there's a close relationship between these three concepts. Number one, justification by faith. Number two, a son of Abraham by faith. And number three, reception of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to receive the Spirit is to be justified by faith, is to be a son of Abraham. Do you hear me? To receive the Spirit is to be justified by faith and is to become a son of Abraham, one of the spiritual seed of Abraham. And therefore, we learn that the reception of the Holy Spirit is not a second blessing experience, but is the same, or I should say is one, with regeneration and faith and justification. And they're not two categories of salvation, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles, but one. All justified by faith in the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.